B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We are 1 week away from week zero of college football. That's right, week zero. It starts at zero and then continues to go from there. 1 week away. We got some stuff to talk about today, Dan. And for those who are excited about college football, the other night, myself and Dan took 3 hours out of our busy schedule, and we broke down at least 3.5 power conferences.
We did the ACC, the Pac-12, the independents, all of them, and a part of the Big Ten. I think we did the Big Ten East, and then we're going to do the Big Ten West Monday, along with the SEC and the Big 12.
So we broke down the ACC, and I'm telling you people right now, like, you know how somewhat around here locally, there's been a lot of look at the quarterbacks that come out of college. You know, who's going to be like the next? Like, Trevor Lawrence clearly was the highest since Andrew Luck when it came to, a sure thing as a number one pick. Yeah. Exactly. And there's been some doozies in there. I know there's been a couple of draft classes where guys didn't, you know, there's just no one left for the draft class. But that ACC, man, this year, we went over it. There's some real quality talent at the quarterback position, man.
There's also some real bad teams.
There's some really bad
teams. The ACC, again, I talked about it. If you're looking at the Power 5 conferences, I don't think it's even remotely close. They are by far the worst Power 5 conference this year. I'd make the argument that if you took Clemson away from the ACC, that you could have two Group of Five conferences that are better. I'd argue potentially the Mountain West and the AAC are better conferences, like just in terms of talent. Like, I know UNC is very highly rated in the preseason polls, which, by the way, the preseason polls mean literally nothing.
They mean nothing.
They have Florida ranked 11th and LSU ranked 12th. If I was going to do a top 25 right now without watching any games, I would have neither of those teams in my top 25.
And this is one of the things we discussed, or at least I mentioned, was the ACC always gets that consideration. You know, like, you look at it, Clemson's 3. Carolina's 10, Miami 14.
I think Clemson is the exception to the rule, because I think Clemson is a legitimate contender year in and year out. But, like, UNC is like a top 10 team. We talked about it on the podcast the other day. Is UNC a top 10 team? I would argue probably not. You can make the case for them at least, but I still don't think they are. You lose a ton. Obviously, you lose Javonte Williams. You do return Howell, and the entire starting offensive line is coming back, which is huge for UNC. But you've lost so much there defensively with you, Javonte Williams, a major playmaker there. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's a top 10 team this year. But yeah, because they play in the ACC, they'll probably have an inflated
record.
They get
that love.
They suck.
Just getting back to the quarterbacks for a second here. Like, you look at the ACC, dude. Like, Dracovic, DJ Ugalele, Mackenzie Milton, the Louisville kid Malik. NC State's getting their quarterback back. Syracuse does not have a quarterback. Wake Forest is Hartman.
You haven't mentioned Sam Howell.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You go to the next Coastal, Duke's got nothing. Sims in Georgia Tech, and then Derek King's back. Sam Howell's the number one prospect in the country right now. You know, Pitt's bringing their quarterback back. You know, Kenny Pickett, who's, you know, again, if he can do anything this year and be healthy, I think he can put himself, get a job on Sundays at some point. I don't know if he'll be drafted, but yeah. And then, you know, we did the Pac-12 as well. And, like, that's another conference that you look at it and you're like, wow, there are some loaded teams. But, you know, you look at their quarterback situation. You know, Utah is bringing in the kid from Baylor now. USC, obviously, is Slovis. Arizona State has the kid
Jaden Daniels.
You know, you mentioned Colorado's quarterback got hurt yesterday.
JT Shrout out for
the season. Oregon's going to go with Anthony Brown. They're 11th in the country.
Former BC quarterback.
And then Washington is probably, if they're 20, and you know what I'm saying? You, when you talk about the rankings, like Washington's number 20 in the country.
Hell no.
Some of these
it's
ACC
such
schools.
A terrible ranking. I can't even believe that.
So, and then here we are just talking rankings, like, you know, we'll get into the gambling stuff.
And again, preseason rankings, again, what I'd tell you, like, I'd tell you that they mean absolutely diddly squat. Like, they really don't mean anything. You can't take away anything from them. There's no system for how they even do preseason rankings. Like, they try and do some of it based off last year, which makes no sense to me. And then some of it based off this year. Just like, but like somehow you have Coastal finishing right outside the top 10 last year. And like now they're like, they're borderline top 25 and they bring back almost their entire roster.
almost. A couple of guys they lost. That were
they lose the run. But I mean, literally, I think they bring back like 92% of their roster. Like, it's just crazy.
And I look at the Big 12, Iowa State is 7, and they got Purdy coming back, and they got a nice little team there.
Yep.
Oklahoma should be in the hunt. I mean, I know Rattler, some people like. I
think they're going to be in that group of. I think there's 5 legitimate contenders, and I think Oklahoma's in that group.
And then Texas always gets the top 25.
Which is, another insane thing. When was the last time that we thought Texas was good? I mean, they lose to TCU every year. Like, you know, it's just a routine loss to TCU every year at this point.
And then just with the Big Ten, we know Ohio State, but, you know, we'll find out what happens at quarterback. They should be good. But their defense got lit up.
They're probably a little bit down this year, though, to be honest with you.
Okay? Yeah.
I mean, like, compared to where they were in the last couple of years.
Wisconsin's up at 12. Iowa getting love at 18. Penn State, you know, they're bringing back their quarterback. They're 19, and then, of course, Penix with Indiana.
I mean, yeah, and we went over Indiana's football schedule this year. Their win total is 8. Let's give you a preview. Good luck.
Well, you know what I thought was great? And go check out the podcast. You can find it at 98.5thesportshub.com. You can find it on both our Twitter handles. But, you know, there's money to be made with these win totals. The ones that I thought were interesting, Dan, were Notre Dame in particular, BYU. Like, though, when we were talking, I was like, man, you know, they do have talent coming back, but, like, it's the schedule that you have to throw into the mix.
BYU lost so much talent. Like, I mean, going from, like, Zach Wilson to, like, a maybe, group of 5-ish starting level quarterback, whoever it is, Romney or Jaren Hall, whoever they have end up starting there. Like, it's going to be such a drop for them. I mean, I think a lot of these teams are going to be getting a lot of, you know, a lot of rep based upon last year. And it's just, you have to adjust. Like, I got asked this week, Joe, 3 times, should I take Florida over? Should I take Florida over? Should I take Florida over? And like, Florida is decimated this year compared to what they were last year. So, you know, people need to realize new year, new teams. A lot of the big boys didn't bring back, and we went over that in the podcast. A lot of the big boys did not bring back close to the continuity that a lot of these teams have. So if you're going to have a year where maybe some of these big boy teams don't win, I think this is the year because pretty much none of these teams bring back a large amount of guys. A ton of teams across the country have more depth than ever.
Well, let's at least bring this up quickly here, right? Is it going to be the same old thing, Dan? Because that was your beef a year ago, was that the Notre Dames, the Alabamas,
the Ohio State, Clemson.
Do you feel that? Because I was very biased when I, you know, was saying Coastal and BYU. Like, Dan, I legitimately think if BYU won out somehow, some way, they could have flirted with an opportunity.
No, they would have never gotten it.
No. Coastal would have never gotten it if they went undefeated. Like, you know what I'm saying? They would have just never got there.
No.
But, like, I felt like if any year, maybe last year. And if it wasn't last year, it's probably never going to happen.
See, I think that it's possible this year if Cincinnati wins at Notre Dame and at Indiana, which are the two their two real road win, like their two real road games that they have to go through. That's obviously non-conference. Like they got to win out in the AAC, and then they got to win on the road in Notre Dame, South Bend. If they do that, I think Indiana's down this year. I mean, they're a very, very good team, but I think that scheduling wise, Indiana has a ton of losable games.
Can their defense be as good as it was? I mean, they ran into this great quarterback that kept them around, and then who knew that their defense was really that good?
Yeah. You
know? I mean, they competed with Ohio State. They covered. Like, that was a close game.
I think Cincinnati has a chance to make it this year, but if you're asking me will they make it, my answer is still no. Now, if this was 12 teams, like they're talking about the expanded playoffs, I'd say Cincinnati is a borderline lock unless they lose at Indiana, at Notre Dame, and they lose an in-conference game, because I still think 10-2 probably gets them into that top 12.
That's the team. To be honest with you, that's the team. Like, what they almost ran the table out. They ran the table last year, right?
Yeah, but they're number eight this year.
Yeah,
they're
that's what helps them. But you mentioned, for the most part, I agree with you.
Yeah,
throw away whatever the top 25. For them getting eight,
it's huge. It's huge for a group of five team to be in the top 10. It actually gives them a legitimate chance to make the playoff, which I think is starting to be recognized by how bad some of these Power Five conferences are, especially the ACC, as we saw last year in those two games, just get obliterated in the two games that were not ACC. Alabama wrecked Notre Dame, and I mean, Clemson got throttled by Ohio State. Like, I mean, just the ACC, and again, Clemson is the exception to the rule, but the ACC just isn't nearly as talented as people think. And I know that everyone tries to give them all this credit. They're just not that good.
All right, we got Kyle's in Southie joining us first thing this morning. Kyle, what's going on, bud?
Morning, guys. How you doing, man?
Good. What's up, Kyle?
Good. So I had a itch for PC football lately. Watching last year, they gave Clemson a run for their money, and I like Halfley as a coach. I find some value in their win total, and just let me spitball you guys real quick. I believe the last time was 7 or 7.5. They're going to jump out the gate 4-0. They get Missouri at home. That's a tough game, but I think they can win that game. Colgate, UMass. They do run into a buzzsaw in Clemson in the meat of their schedule. So, and then another value play that I think is a good play to look at is +4,500 to make the conference championship game. So I want to know you guys' thoughts, because I think that's great value. Instead of betting them money line versus Clemson, because they're in the same division, they got to win that game to get to the championship game. You take that at +4,500 before they get to 4-0 or 3-1 before they play Clemson. What are you guys' thoughts?
Well, first off, Dan, we discussed this. We gave our thoughts wholeheartedly, but you know, I think really you got to look at the schedule. He mentioned they start 4-0. Of course, the Missouri game will be tough. I think they should win that game. And they're home.
Missouri's up, and they're an SEC team. And like, I mean, Missouri will probably be favored in Chestnut Hill.
Here's my overall thoughts on Boston College this year. The offensive line is back to being like O line U. They have three legit prospects that could go pro.
They have two legitimate first-round prospects.
Like legit. Right?
Like legit, yeah.
Very. Okay? Their running game will be a question mark, but they were very good last year.
I mean, Bailey transferring out really
It hurts them because they wanted to depend on him, and they ended up finding the other kid.
Right.
But they have three legit wide receivers. They're going to have to make up their tight end that they lost. But they're going to be much better. And, dude, their transfer portal was huge. Halfley's turning. There's things to be excited about at Boston College.
But here's the problem with taking them +4,500 to be in the conference championship. And I understand what you're trying to do. You're saying they're going to be finished second in the Atlantic. And then so maybe you could try and hedge that. It's not a playoff. So there's no real good way to hedge that. And I'll tell you right now, I love BC this year, and I also lean the over. I didn't have a play on it, but I do lean that way. They're not finishing ahead of Clemson. So if you're taking the +4,500 to hedge in the Clemson game, that's great and all. But if you have an injury or something happens to Djokovic or something like that, I mean, now you're Now you're looking at, you know, just a double loss. It's just I get the concept. I do understand the value in that play. I still think that NC State is a legitimate contender in the Atlantic Conference. And I think that, you know, a team like Louisville, Wake Forest, one of those teams is going to surprise us this year. Like, both those teams are very talented. So, while I do think that BC is going to have a really, really good year, I just don't – I want to temper the expectations a little bit because, A, they're an ACC team, okay? Facing an SEC team on the rise in Missouri, I know it's at home. I still think that's probably a loss. Probably a loss. So, like,
I do want to share this, though. I think their schedule is easier than it was a year ago.
So much easier.
Which I don't want to call them a sleeper. They shouldn't be a sleeper. Yet they did go 6-5 last year. They did not have a signature win. Yep, they blew that game against the Clemson at one point.
Yep.
They avoid Miami and North Carolina, which is, you know, really huge for them.
It's huge for them, yep.
Overall, though, 18 returning starters, you know, new coach, new program. This kid Dracovic, I think, is going to put himself in the conversation to be a pick this year. I do, and he's going to be a junior.
Yeah, he's going to be a junior. I think that he's going to be a legitimate NFL talent. Now, again, he's not going to be a starter. He's not. I don't think he'll be a first round pick. I guess anything could happen. I don't think so. But if you're talking about a guy who maybe be picked in the fourth, fifth round, I think that there's a legitimate possibility if he has a good year in the next 2 years. He's going to be an NFL prospect. Like, I think that's possible.
And they get this transfer, Jaden Lars Woodbay. I think we mentioned him on the podcast. This kid was a 5-star recruit, has played at Florida State the last couple of years, and he's going to go right into this defense. And you know, from what I read, that secondary is going to be one of their best, you know, strongest parts of their team. So I like them. They're on the rise, but I think we should temper expectations. For the simple fact they don't play North Carolina or Miami, which would be true test for them. Let's see what they do against Clemson. I'd probably lean Clemson.
Clemson, it's at Clemson. Clemson's going to crush them. I'm not concerned about that. I think honestly the week four game home versus Missouri, you're going to find out what this team is. Like, I think that's going to give
you. The other thing, it's a look ahead game. You get Missouri and Clemson. Then Clemson.
Yeah. So I mean,
and then you get NC State, as you mentioned off the back of it.
Yep.
Louisville's not going to be easy.
And then you're going. And then we, Joe and I, have talked about back to back road games for Power Five teams is a rarity. Most Power Five teams, when they go back to back road games, almost always lose one or both games.
So you know what they have this year? They have Louisville and Syracuse.
So that Louisville game is going to be very dangerous to them, especially because that Syracuse spot is sandwiched between Virginia Tech and Louisville. So that's going to be a very dangerous game for them at Syracuse, too. They'll win that game. I doubt they cover on the back-to-back of the second of the back-to-backs there. It's just... I like BC. I think they're going to be good this year. Just temper your expectations in terms of how good they're going to be. Over on the win total, probably. But are they going to be competing with Clemson? Probably not.
I will open it up to you guys. Whatever you want to discuss, we have topics. But if you have thoughts on NFL, college football, the NBA win totals came out yesterday, we'll do a nice segment on that. Throughout the show today, we'll take a look at what happened in the Major League Baseball. And that's wild right now, Major League Baseball. I know Dan's betting the NBA, WNBA. And our buddy Brendan Glashine is doing the Sun. He crushes it. I got to tell you.
Dude, I'm not kidding.
Tom Morgan. We sit here with Glash. We bust his balls in here.
He's a really good
But I got to tell you, he's a really good play-by-play guy.
Really good.
Like, you're like, the guy, that guy? Is that guy there? That's like what you do when you hear it. You know what I mean? So
I don't do that. I love that guy.
No, that's what I mean. No, but not, you know, Zoe gives him. Some guys give. Who doesn't Zoe?
Everyone busts on Glashine.
Yeah, we bust him because he's new, because we like him.
Yeah.
And is he really? He's been here almost over a year now.
So I didn't say I liked him more. Oh, I'm sure. I said he was good.
Two and a half years now, right? We just haven't been in years.
So. But it's funny. I did the Pats post game. I can't settle in after. Like, I'm one of those guys that wants to, I can't just go to sleep. I pop on Nesson and boom, there he is. And I'm like, hey, what was the line on this game? Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, what was the line?
Should have texted me.
Damn it. We have intel. We got to take advantage of that.
I was on the over last night.
Speaking of that, there was some preseason NFL games, too. Some interesting, I guess, when it comes to the betting line, some interesting stuff out there. So if you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. We'll talk to you right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, back here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show. It's bankroll season. I already got people said, Dad, it's 7:27 and I have people sending me smoked meatloaf platters and Cajun smoked cream cheese. And I didn't even bring up food yet.
You gotta get the smoker started early. You gotta get the smoker started early right. On a Saturday morning.
Well, I mean, we're a week away now. We're a week away. Now, am I going hardcore next weekend? Probably not.
I mean, if you find an advantage, bro, then I think you got it.
Well, I don't want to do it right now. We'll save it for a little bit, but I am licking my chops at a few games for next week.
Yeah, we can do it in the end.
I'm licking my chops a little bit.
Can I give you a PP?
We're already to start the we're going to open up the bell.
Nothing to do with college football or anything. Yeah, a little PP. 10 a.m. You know, there's some English Premier Soccer coming up.
Ooh.
Give me Everton and Leeds over 2.75 minus 105 there.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, give me a little overaction in the EPL this morning. So, and by the way, if you don't understand what 2.75 means, that means if there's three goals, you win half your bet. Four goals, you win your full bet. So. And anything, if there's two goals or less, you lose. That's how it works. So three goals, you win 50% of your winnings. Four goals, you win 100% of your winnings. That's how 2.75 works, just to explain it to people.
I watched a little bit of preseason football last night. I didn't give it out. You didn't give it out, so we won't take credit for it. But when we were asked about our thoughts on the Patriots game this week, it was 38.5. I thought it was 38, whatever. It was a 35-0 final.
Dude, it got it to 39.
Well,
yeah, it got it to 39.
Well, thanks to Quinn Nordine, our friend.
Man, I was so high in him week one. I knew it. Belichick found a draft, undrafted jet. Dude.
I'll never forget Penn State, Quinn Nordine. Hits a 56-yarder and then can't hit a putt to win the damn game and cover.
It's gonna be very tough for him to make.
I think practice squad would be good for him.
I agree. It feels like if he's gonna be inconsistent again, it's super super early for a guy like that. But if he ever finds consistency, that kid's gonna be a great kicker. It's probably just a mental thing with him. I have no idea. Well, I can't imagine it's a mechanics thing, but.
But these kickers, though, are really like...
He has a leg.
No, he's... But he didn't never start... I don't like these guys that didn't, like, play... Like, the kid from Florida, was it McNamara last year? That dude just would kick the ball, and I had confidence in him, and it just... You know, the Aguayos, I used to feel that way, too, and then look what happened to them.
I mean, one of them is still kicking in Indy right now, and he's not terrible.
They're not good. But again, you know, I don't know, like Blankenship, you know, people.
Blankenship. I was thinking of Wild for whatever reason. Yeah, Blankenship's
a dude that.
I mean, he was solid in Indy last year. I don't know why I thought it was Aguayo. Yeah, he's been solid in Indy.
Aguayo was with the Pats for a bit, and then they cut him for this Nardine kid.
Yep.
But I watched a few of the games last night, And the unders are still strong if you're betting these type of things.
So, I mean, Bill, one of our followers, Bill, gave us a gem the other day that every single game, with the total 37 or over in the preseason, has gone under. I think there were six games that had a total of 37 or higher. They all went under. Then the Patriots had a total of 37 or under. They went under. And in the Chiefs game, I think it was a 41 total in that game. That one went under as well. So right now we are cruising right along. Today, Buffalo-Chicago at 38, Colts Spike at 37.5, Denver-Seattle 37.5, and then Monday, Jacksonville-New Orleans 39. So, again, that's from our buddy Bill. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, it's great.
I'm sure we'll see some live movement. But
Last night you got Washington and Cincinnati.
Oh, by the way, Jacksonville, New Orleans is at 40 now. By the way, so.
I watched Jacksonville. No good. And I saw that great Tebow block. Poor Tebow. Poor Tebow. But last night, 35 was the Washington Cincinnati. Landed on 17-13. And then it was Arizona, Kansas City. Shane Boucher threw a touchdown last night.
Oh, really?
Bouchel, whatever. Bouchel, yeah. 17-10, total was 41 in that one. So the first three games of the preseason this week have all gone under.
By the way, how bad does Philly look?
Well, it was bad because there was no, you know, they didn't play their offensive line. They didn't play their secondary. They didn't play actually anybody.
Well, no, they didn't play their defensive line. They didn't their play offensive anybody. Line.
They
their
played nobody. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their offensive
actually, line. Actually, you know who I wasn't impressed with at all? Jalen Reagor.
You know, really?
Gave up on that. Justin Bethel, a special teamer, is going to box you out for a tipped ball for an interception?
Dude, Devonta Smith looked horrible.
He had a couple of drops, but then
JoJuan Williams was blanketing. Dude, yeah. JoJuan Williams
the
was
drops,
blanketing
though.
You. No, I'm sorry. You're right. He didn't look good.
Listen, he didn't look good.
And by the way, you know.
I think he's going to be special.
You know what? Three drops was really not good last night was Ja'Marr Chase. And I've been on the bus train with Ja'Marr Chase. He is.
We both said it. They should have went with Sewell.
Yep.
He would have been a 12-15 year starter at left tackle for your quarterback.
Oh, I got into it with not a friend, but you know someone I'm friendly with last night because he took Ja'Marr Chase and I yelled bust when he did it in my fantasy football draft.
Well, he didn't play at all last year. You know, to be fair,
I just don't like the kid. I don't know. I gotta be honest. I don't think he's gonna be a good NFL player. There you go. So I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I don't think he had a catch last night.
The three targets and drop. I believe he dropped the ball. I'm just giving the kid a hard time. But I'm not the biggest fan. I'm not the biggest fan. But getting back to the preseason. Minnesota -2 today is, let me PP that one. I'm going to take the Vikings -2.
Wow.
From what the rumors in the gambling circles are that the Vikings are going to end up playing, a large amount of their quarter. They're going to get enough quarterback play today because they all missed week one of the preseason with the COVID stuff. So therefore they're going to get an extended look today. I know the Colts are obviously going to have Eason and
Ellinger.
And Ellinger, thank you. Obviously, you know, still competing for snaps. But, I mean, at this point, I think I'll take Minnesota's duo over Indies. And I do like Minnesota. That line opened as a pick'em, by the way, and is now -2. So I'm chasing.
Let me get this out here. I want to see if we can relate to gambling at all. I was happy with week one of the preseason. Fans were back. Football was back. Fake football was back.
Still football.
But I'm going to tell you, this week was tough, at least for the Patriots-wise. It was tough.
I mean, they blew them out. Like, it just wasn't competitive.
You know what it is, Dan? I think it was so non-competitive
that
it was like for example, I want to give Cam Newton credit for the Jacoby Myers touchdown. He actually ran the play action. He actually, Dan, got the ball and faked the play action, which he hasn't done yet this preseason. The linebacker came up and stood still while Jacoby Myers is running behind the middle linebacker and the guy that's standing still. Cam throws him a ball a little bit, not to the sideline, but to his hands.
Yep.
And it's a good throw. Myers beats the yak. Myers got the touchdown.
Myers is a very good find, by the way, by Bill.
But then again, later on in the game, it's Mac Jones doing similar plays past the. Now, the first play, he almost got intercepted by the middle linebacker.
The linebacker, yeah.
But he bounced back from that, and he started throwing behind it. And that had to be the game plan, because something they were working on at camp all week long, because Hoyer came in later on and did the same exact thing.
I know.
And it was just like, all right, this was the game plan. Like, do we really? They must have worked on those plays in the scrimmage all week long, and we're like, we can beat the
Cam. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not Team Cam, because I want Mac Jones to be fantastic, and therefore I think in order for that to happen, I think he needs to start over Cam Newton. You know, earlier than later. I think that to give Cam credit, I thought Cam looked fantastic in that game. And again, I know that the Eagles were playing their backup defensive line and a bunch of players not playing and yada, yada. The fact is, the ball out of Cam's hand looked better in that game than it had in a while. And so I want to give Cam Newton credit, because I thought that he looked good in that game. Now, I don't know how much you can take away from that, but I thought Cam Newton looked good, and I think he deserves credit for the way that he played. Regardless of who it's against, you can only play what's in front of you.
Agree with you there. Stepped up. His footwork looked much better.
His arm looked better.
His arm looked better. He was very confident after the game.
Very confident during the game.
Jumping
around the side. Right. That looks like a guy who has won the week one.
So I agree with it. I agree with you. To give you like a sports radio topic, I was with Gasper the other night, and he had a nice little comeback. But my only thing is, how do you sit the kid? What's he done wrong? Besides maybe the halftime, I don't want to call it a debacle, but Patriots end up getting a stop on the Bethel, the Harvey Longy interception.
Yep.
It's like, a minute left, whatever. And they throw the deep ball to Harry. He gets hurt, out. Then they get a completion, Olszewski, they're moving the ball down the field. He's dumping it to J.J. Taylor, whatever. And then finally on one timeout, no timeouts left, instead of throwing the ball down the sideline and killing the clock, he checks down to J.J. Taylor, who couldn't get out of bounds. They spike it on a third down, and now it's fourth down, and you're like, that's it. And McDaniels got on him hard.
Yep.
Because you know what? You can't check down with no timeouts like that.
No, you can't.
It's a rookie mistake.
It's a learning
process. Yeah, it's growing pains.
Yeah, those things are going to happen.
So that's my only real thing that I thought Mac didn't do well. But if we're going to criticize one quarterback, I didn't like how Cam Newton got three straight completions to drive the ball down the field, and then nine guys were in the box, and he had to call timeout for a delay again. That stalled the momentum of that first drive, and then Nordine missed the field goal. So that one, you just got three first downs in a row, dude. Nine guys in the box, just run the ball or get out of another play. He had to call timeout. That's my only nitpick. Listen. We got a nitpick, and we're going to give one to one guy, got to do it to the other guy.
Yep.
But I thought, in a way, I thought Mac Jones' performance was more impressive. But I was so impressed with what I saw out of Cam Newton that that's the biggest takeaway. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll do more sports gambling talk coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet you're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ready, Steve? Uh-huh. Andy? Yeah. Mick? Okay. All right, fellas.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. This pumps you up at 7:45 in the morning. Hey, Dan, we have a call. His name is Michael. He is in Salem. I'm not sure if it's Salem, Massachusetts, or Salem, New Hampshire, but either or, a great place to go and visit. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. How are you guys doing this morning?
How you doing?
What's going on?
So I wanted to get your thoughts on Alabama this year. I mean, they're obviously going to be good. They're obviously going to be competing for a national title. I think their offense is going to take a slight step back, though, this year, because even last year when Bryce Young got in, he flashed at times, but also other times you saw that he looked young. They also have a true freshman who's also an early enrollee, Ajay Hall, wide receiver. He is going to be the next Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle type production at the receiver position at Alabama. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on them this year.
Thanks, Michael. Whoa, Nelly, Alabama, the national champions. I'm Keith Jackson. I think John Michi should be the one name that you talk about right away.
Definitely Michi.
When it comes to the wide receiver. But yeah, then I would, Dan, I've told you this. I watched Bryce Young in a red versus crimson game and I got a little crimson and I got a little excited there.
Jameson Williams is the other guy. That is going to be, a pretty big piece of that wide receiver core in Alabama.
He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's like the next, he transferred from Ohio State, I think, that kid. Yeah, from what I remember.
Yep.
They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine, and they're bringing back a ton of talent. This is what they do every year, and I don't want to be lazy on it, but they have a ton of returning starters.
They don't.
Well, I don't know. I think Michi is legit, and I think their line's going to have, they're going to have a new center, obviously, but he's a senior, redshirt senior, Chris Owens. They got their junior, they have their right guard, right tackle back. Like they're going to be good. I'm telling you. And then defense, it's going to look a little different.
I mean, they have to replace a lot. To be fair, a lot of these guys have been in the system, but maybe haven't played as much. We talked about earlier in the show, a lot of the big boys, Clemson, Bama, Oklahoma, a lot of these guys, our teams are not returning the talent that some other teams across the country are. And, they have depth because they're, Clemson and Georgia and Alabama and yada, yada, yada. But, like, they don't return the talent that, that some of these other teams are just returning their whole roster. And, sometimes are three deep the way that, it's going this year just because last year.
Well, let's talk about that just real quick. When it comes to the power teams, right, who in your opinion, between Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and who?
I think it's Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia. That is the five.
Oklahoma lost their running back, Stevenson. They lose a lot of their defense, but Rattler, that system offensively will be fine. I think it's always going to be their defense. USC, I think, is someone that we haven't even put into this equation, and maybe they're not deserving yet.
They are absolutely not.
But I do think that that's going to be an up-and-coming team this year. I know Slovis is the guy, but I think they have talent all around. Ohio State, I mentioned this on the podcast, they're the best wide receiving core in football. But in my opinion, they're the best wide receiving core in football.
It's close. It's definitely top five. I mean, it's definitely up there,
but
for sure.
But Clemson, Ukulele is this for a sophomore. This dude is a man. I mean, he's a literally legit. Like his body built, he's built for this. He's going to run a lot. I'm interested to see what his arm will be. But you look at those teams: Ohio State, Alabama, you might be right. They have some question marks. I don't think so.
I think all these teams have question marks. I think Georgia, and I included them earlier, I think Georgia's maybe the one out of that group of that five-some right there that has a lot of returning talent, didn't lose a ton to the pros. But the problem with Georgia is they have questions at the quarterback position. JT Daniels is still, very raw. Yeah. What we saw from him last year, he struggled at times still. But I mean, to be fair, Joe, USC is not. I don't think USC is the third best team in the Pac-12. So I just, I think
that they have talent.
I don't think they have anywhere close to the talent, but that's the top five though. But I think they're very talented in terms of what they have. But just in terms of like you're looking at, I don't even think would you put USC as a top 10 team in the country?
No.
I don't think I would.
No, I wouldn't.
But I think
would you put Notre Dame? I mean, Notre Dame's got some talent coming back.
Notre Dame has no talent.
Well, I think they got Mayer. They got their running back.
They have three offensive players and six defensive starters.
Their line needs help.
They
lost their best wide receiver.
They got decimated. They have three returning offensive starters and six returning defensive starters. They got decimated. I think Notre Dame, again, is talented, but I think that they're going to be another team you look at and say, well, there's going to be a lot of questions about what happens there. Now, they bring back Mayer and the running back, whose name I'm blanking on, and so those two kids last year were dynamic for them. But the fact is that they still lost a whole lot, and you know, there's going to be a lot of questions about some of these teams. Like, Texas A&M is a team that maybe is on the periphery of that group of five that we just talked about that is bringing back a lot of guys, with the exception of the quarterback, because obviously Kellen Mond's not in the NFL. But, like, you know, that's a team that it brings back a ton of talent. Cincinnati is a team that brings back a ton of their talent. Iowa State, same thing. Like, you know, so at least you're seeing these higher-ranked teams that, you know, have some of their – are bringing back a lot of
How about Texas A&M being six?
I think that
one's a little interesting to me.
I think that that's I mean, I don't think it's a great spot. I think I'd probably put them more eight. But compared to the rest of this list, I don't really have a real big problem with Texas A&M. I mean, outside of Mon, they really didn't lose a ton. And I think they're going to be a really, really good team this year. I think people are not talking about them in the SEC.
How about LSU? Do you think? I mean, they're 16. I thought they were putrid.
No.
Now, I thought that was a team decimated a year ago with losing talent.
I mean, they were 5-5. I mean, the quarterback situation is still up in the air.
Yeah, I wonder who the quarterback will be.
The defensive situation. To me, and again,
who's the lefty there? That they had kid son.
I can't remember his name. But I mean, we'll go over LSU on Monday when we're doing part two of the college football podcast. To me, Florida and LSU are probably not top 25 teams. The fact that Miami is so high, like they're a team that could have 9 wins this year.
Like Emory Jones, for those, is going to be the Florida quarterback. Yeah. Dynamic. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Very
you
dynamic.
Watch him, he's shifty. They put him on the goal line. I just, for a whole season, I don't think so.
Well, not to mention, like, how much talent did they lose last year? Kadarius Toney, first round pick.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kyle Pitts, first round, top five pick. I mean, you know, they lost so much offensively, too. Like, again, another team that lost a massive amount. But like, and then you take a look at like the bottom of the top 25. I mean, I'd argue, you know, Washington is number 20 in the AP poll. What? I mean, that's a team that's, you know, viewed as widely expected to be very competitive in the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon's number 11, but Washington's number 20. Makes no sense to me. Texas gets in at 21. That's not a top 25 team. No way. Coastal and Louisiana Lafayette are 22 and 23. Those teams should probably be more around the teens. Iowa's 18. Like, Utah's 24. We went over Utah and the talent that they have. Yeah. Arizona State, same thing. Like, it's just the rankings, the preseason rankings, in all honesty, absolutely suck. They suck. And so it's hard. Honestly, I would tell you, don't even pay attention to them. Like, they're useless. They really are.
All right, we'll take a break here. We'll do hour number two. We do have some NBA totals that just came out. There's one interesting one for the Celtics that I disagree with.
I gave out a play on Twitter on it already. So
okay, we'll talk about that. We'll tell you who has the highest win total in the NBA as well.
And week zero, man.
Week zero. What are your thoughts? College football begins next Saturday. We'll tell you the games, the lines, all that stuff, and then maybe we'll look at what's happening with the Red Sox in Major League Baseball. It's not good. 617-779-0985 is the DraftKings over.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour two of the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We'll get into your NBA win totals coming up in a bit. Take a look at what's happening else. Maybe some tonight's preseason games. Oh, there's one that I'm looking at, Dan. We'll get into later. Just keep your eye on this Jets-Packers line. I hate to use the term wise guy involvement, but that line move has been pretty interesting.
Yeah, Jets opened, I believe, plus two, and now
it's flipped around.
Minus two.
But I have that like New York feel wise guy on that one.
Well, I mean, Jordan Love's not playing.
Okay. Yeah. We'll simmer that one. Let that simmer for a little bit.
Yeah, and I have no idea if Rodgers is going to play, but regardless, that second unit of the Packers is going to be a tough watch, probably.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was...
Even against the lowly Jets, and I'm assuming they're probably going to want to get Wilson some reps. Like, he didn't look great his first game, Joe, and... I gotta be honest with you. I'm starting to get nervous that maybe the kid is a college kid. Like, we'll see. There's a very, very long road to go. It's just the whole process with him hasn't been great. Especially you saw him at the draft, right? And how uncomfortable he was. Just like how is he going to manage an NFL locker room? You know what I mean? So I'm interested to watch how he's handled there.
All right, let's try to squeeze all this in 15 minutes.
Okay.
Week zero of the college football schedule starts Saturday, August 28th.
Yep.
Next Sunday. So it's the official. It's not the official kickoff of the year because they try to do that the next week. But this is like the first games.
It's the kickoff.
To us, it's official.
It's Saturday, then Wednesday, then Thursday, then Friday. It is official. It's week zero.
Okay. I see the first game on the till is Nebraska Illinois,
which is a conference game. It's a Big Ten conference game week zero, which is crazy. I love it. I love it. Get it in there early, man. Like, seriously, get it in there early. It's in Champaign. Huge game. You know, in my opinion, Illinois effing sucks. Like, you know, that's been the motto forever. In Champaign, Nebraska's a 7-point favorite, Joe. What do you like?
If you want the trends, throw them out the window. But here they are.
Let's hear the trends. Because I think they do mean more in college
than under,
in the NFL.
The under is the strong trend in this game.
Total's 55 in that game.
It's a lot. Considering Illinois has trouble scoring, and at times Nebraska does. And it's a conference game, first game of the year. Now, here's the interesting one. Whenever Nebraska's a favorite, dude, I'll just give you their last eight games. They're 2-6 against the spread as a favorite.
I got to be honest with you. I don't love the road spot for them. And I'm no Illinois fan. But I mean, they bring Illinois. You want to talk about a team that brings back a lot of talent. They do. I mean, Brandon Peters returns as the quarterback. They bring back three offensive linemen, and they also got a transfer, Jack Badovinich. He's coming in too. I mean, this is a team that's going to have a lot of continuity. They're probably going to be on the rise, which is, you know, it's interesting. They're going to be on the rise. Brett Bielema is the head coach there now, so no more.
That's
Lovie
true.
Smith.
Yep. Yeah, that, now that's good. Lovie Smith. Brett Bielema runs a good program. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree.
He has ran some great programs. Now he's taken over talent. I think Lovie recruited well. I think Lovie's problem
he recruited okay.
Okay.
I'd say Northwestern and Illinois have had the two worst Big Ten recruiting classes in the past couple of years. And surprising that it's Northwestern, because usually they do pretty well. But yeah, they've I'd say both those teams have struggled recruiting. So,
well, this is interesting. Scott Frost is under fire. Let's flat out say it.
I mean, right? Well, they're under investigation.
True.
There's now the whole scandal with everything going on in Nebraska. So it's an interesting way to react. And there are some expectations for that Nebraska team this year, like legitimate.
Adrian Martinez, I don't know which Martinez brother this is. Is this the fourth one? I'm being dead serious. I'm not even kidding you.
It's still the good one.
They've had a bunch of Martinezes.
Yes.
They're all brothers, by the way.
Yep.
That they continue to have. So last year, Illinois won this one 41-23.
Yep.
Nebraska won four in a row, and then last year at a hiccup at home. Now they go on the road. They get their quarterback. Illinois' defense is projected to be pretty good, and that's a Brett Bielema special, as we all know. I think it's going to be like a one of these both teams going at it, rivalry game. So I lean under right away, like right away. Can the Nebraska passing game make big plays? I don't think so. I know they're going to run. I know they're going to continue to run like they always have, and Martinez has that ability. He breaks tackles very well. I remember this kid.
Yep. He's a legitimate talent. Martinez, I mean, there's talk about him getting consideration for the Heisman this year. Like, he is a legitimate talent to, if surrounded by the right pieces, probably could be. I don't know if he'll be an NFL quarterback, but I think he's a very, very good college quarterback. Like, I think he's along those lines. The problem with Nebraska, and it's going to be up front offensively, is their offensive line. I mean, they have two redshirt juniors, a redshirt sophomore, a redshirt freshman, and a redshirt freshman. Like, they got no transfers. They actually have very little depth on the offensive line this year, which is, you know, been a problem for Nebraska for a while. Like, it's just... This is a game where I feel as if... And they do have some transfers coming in at running back. Like, they tried to get some talent to come in at running back because they're okay wide receiver. They actually have a ton of depth in that position. As you said, Joe, Nebraska returns a large portion of their defense. And I mean, their defense, in my opinion, is going to be, you know, in my opinion, is it has to be better. Like, has to be better than it was last year. I do think that Illinois is a good way to start there. I mean, Brandon Peters is a okay quarterback. He's going to – Arthur Sikowski transferred in to kind of compete with him. I still think Peters is going to be, you know, the guy there, to be honest with you. But I think this is going to be a lower-scoring game just because of the fact that there is going to be
– mistakes.
A lot of mistakes. I still think that there's not a ton of continuity, especially on the Nebraska offensive side. And I still question how talented this Illinois offense is going to be in a new offensive system. They're running the spread offense this year. So, like, it's going to be a new offensive system, a new head coach. Again, Bielema probably doesn't have any expectations for, you know, succeeding the first couple of years. So it's going to be very different. Now, they're very experienced and talented up front on the offensive line, Joe. So I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Chase Brown, a lot of Chase Hayden running the football there. But that is not exactly a recipe for an over,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, early lean, under?
I agree.
going to wait on a side. Nebraska should be the better team, but Bill, who knows? Illinois is a tricky team. Tricky, especially at home.
I think that they're going to be one of those teams where you're going to have to really, and there weren't a ton of those teams that we, on the podcast. We were like, I think you're really going to have to wait and see what this team is. I think with new coach, a lot of question marks. I think this is going to be a big wait and see team. Like, I think that they're going to be a team that's going to be very, very much like wait and see. So I'm probably not going to play anything in that game. Maybe the under.
All right, we'll do this one quick. UConn versus Fresno State. UConn, I'll tell you this, they're well rested. They didn't play last year.
Yep.
Where Fresno State has a revamped defense. They get the kid from linebacker from Boise, Tyson Maivia. Is that his name? He was that big linebacker they had who transferred out. Anyways, long story short, UConn is going to get stuffed by Fresno State. And when I mean stuffed, yes, they're going to get pounded. I don't know what the line is, Dan, but I smell 40.
27.5 is the current number right now. And the total, by the way, in that one is 62.5. So, I mean, they're
under.
They're really? Really?
I think Fresno's going to drop 40 on that ass.
See, I think. Well, if you think they're going to go 40, then you probably want the over, honestly.
I just feel like UConn won't score.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know if I agree with that.
This Fresno team, from everything I've heard this year, they're supposed to be like the darlings of defense.
Right. I mean, they're going to be very talented. Don't get me wrong. But I also think that, remember, UConn was they were definitely not a good group of five team, but they were, you know, a group of five team that was, you know, at least at times competitive in the AAC, which is definitely better than the Mountain West. I mean, I don't think that's really much of a conversation. We're gonna see really what happens with Edsel's team. I don't know, dude, because there's so much inexperience there due to the fact that they didn't play last year. You know, the New York Times declared them national champion for not playing. There's so much. Here's the biggest problem with UConn. They have very little depth. Like, they lost a ton of guys.
Like, we could go run on UConn right now because they...
Like, they lost a ton of guys to transfer.
When you don't want to play, when you don't play for a year, it's...
Yeah.
It's not going to help
them. Their roster.
I just think Fresno destroys them.
There is a reason that I think the spread is so high. And again, I think UConn has to be on that list of auto fades until they prove something. Like, you know, they're certainly not good. I that's going to be a game I think I wholeheartedly stay away from unless, you know, there's some information that ends up. You know, I become privy to or whatever, you know.
All right, so UCLA Hawaii, I feel like is the game of the day for me. I know a lot about Hawaii. I've watched this team. They're not your darlings. This high pressured offense like they used to be.
They are ground and pound now.
Todd Graham is this defensive coach that wants to run the football exactly.
Yep.
They're not. They're very balanced. The thing for me is their quarterback's very good.
Chevin Cordero was awesome last year.
He's very good. It's just the quarterback on the other side might be better.
But definitely. He's definitely better.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR, he's legit. And it's this Chip Kelly team that he's built over the last couple of years that's won some big games. I think their recruits are truly going to kick in this year.
Dude, they got... so many transfers. Cam Brown, Jordan Genmar-Keith, like Devin Kirkwood. Like, those are the big-time guys. They got a ton of transfers. There's going to be a lot of talent, new talent for this team, too. Like, a lot.
So the total's 70, and I think we should pump the brakes right away on that one.
70.5. It continues to go up.
I'll tell you right now, no.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Defense. That's the problem with... This is like the average bettor who doesn't pay attention. Hawaii's not the throw it down. Cordero can. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
He can do it. they want to be a different type of team. If they play better defense, they feel like they can get better quarterback play and run the ball and control the clock. That's what they want to do. UCLA on the different is a little bit different. They have good defense players, but they want DTR in motion all the time. Like, he's going to be that guy. I think it's going to be a low, you know, I do think UCLA wins this game. Right off the bat.
I mean, they're a 17-point favorite.
But I'm going to give you this. UCLA has only won one of its last five season openers. And the last guy to do it was Josh Rosen when they upset Texas A&M. Their openers of the last couple of years, they have not started well, especially under Chip Kelly.
Who did they play a couple of years ago when we were at the game? And they were, who was it?
Yeah, because DTR, no, they lost at the end of the game. It was Miami?
I want to say like.
Yeah, they blew it away. Remember, he fumbled, DTR fumbled on the way in. They had the whole game in their hand, and he fumbled.
Yeah, I want to say it was like, I don't know. Like,
that was a great opening weekend.
Cincinnati, that's who.
That's who, yeah, Cincinnati. Yeah. That was a great game. Ritter was a freshman. I think they were both freshmen.
I think they were.
They had Cincinnati against the ropes, man. And DTR just growing pains. That was a tough loss for UCLA.
I agree. I also think that's going to be an under game. I will say the one difference is that Chip Kelly now has his guys in his system. It's taken him a while to build up this team, especially offensively, and kind of replicate what he had at Oregon and everything there. And I think now that they have his system, he's going to be running a super fast-paced offense. The question is, do they score? Because if UCLA scores, it's going to turn into a track meet early, Joe. That's what I think. Because if UCLA scores, they'll go up, say, 14-0 or, 17-7 or something like that. You're going to see the game plan for Todd Graham and this Hawaii team. It's going to change. You're not going to be able to ground and pound and control the clock, which is exactly how they want to win these games now. It's going to change significantly, and they're going to have to start throwing the ball with Cordero. And eventually that leads to a lot of mistakes when you have a guy who is very talented, but he maybe sometimes a little more of a loose cannon, just because of the way the system he plays in. That's my concern with playing the under here is that that the game gets away from Hawaii early and they have to kind of go away from what they like to do and maybe try and play beat UCLA at their own type of game, if you know what I mean. And I just that is a recipe to start getting into a 45-50-point game for UCLA, and all of a sudden it's 55-32 and you're late in the fourth quarter and you're going, how the hell did that get away so quick? So that is my one concern with the total, which is why, again, I'm not going to PP it. I have to be perfectly honest with you. I haven't done a ton of work on this game yet because I've been more focused on on everything. But I do think this is going to be a game where I do think the public is going to be very heavy on the over in this game. And I do think that people look at Hawaii and still see the high flying, Hawaiian, quarterback, and let's air it out and throw the air raid and spread offense and let's get 50 points. And that's just, if you don't know college football at this point, that's not at all how Todd Graham and Hawaii likes to run their offense. It's not what they do.
Two more games, week zero, we'll get into those. And then these NBA win totals are out as well. We'll share those with you coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour two of the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We'll get into your NBA win totals coming up in a bit. Take a look at what's happening else maybe some tonight's preseason games. Oh, there's one that I'm looking at, Dan. We'll get into later. Just keep your eye on this Jets-Packers line. I hate to use the term wise guy involvement, but that line move has been pretty interesting.
Yeah, just opened, I believe, plus two, and now
it's flipped
two,
around.
Minus two.
But I have that like New York feel wise guy on that one.
Well, I mean, Jordan Love's not playing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll simmer that one. Let that simmer for a little bit.
Yeah, and I have no idea if Rodgers is going to play, but regardless, that second unit of the Packers is going to be a tough watch, probably.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.